All right, so let's talk about a practice. What did Daniel do? What was Daniel's practice?
Praying.
Yeah, he would go and up to the upper room.
And pray where everybody could see.
Yeah, facing the east towards Jerusalem, praying three times a day. That was his practice.
And they got them thrown in the lion's den.
That's right. That's right. And God shut their mouth. Jesus also had the same practice. And I'm just going to read through the, I'm not going to quote the passages themselves, but his was the same practice. He had sent the crowds away. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. He went away to a secluded place, and he was praying there. After bidding them farewell, he left to the mountain to pray. Next verse. He went off to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God before choosing the 12. He didn't even get a good night's sleep before he picked people out of the crowd going, follow me. You know, he spent the whole night in prayer. And he spent the whole night in prayer. It's just astounding to me. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he withdrew and went a little beyond them, about a stone's throw away, and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Mm-hmm. So, as a model, this is the model I operate under. As a model, I don't go to God with a bunch of stuff to say. I go to God and I'm listening, because ultimately it boils down to, I'm going to get back to, not my will, but thine be done. That's where it's going to get back to, because he's sovereign and he has my plan in his hand, mm-hmm. right? He's going to speak his plan to my life and lead me where I need to be. So ultimately it gets back to the point where I'm going to say, look, you're sovereign, you're God. You taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. So the point being is that that sets up the way it's actually supposed to work, that the voice of God speaks to us and we have an ear to hear what's being said. I mean, he was at the point of, you know, knowing his life was going to end. He was going to suffer huge. And any man is going to go, oh, I can already feel the blows. You know, if it's possible, don't send me down this road. But nevertheless, your will be done. So it's not that we don't go to God with requests, but the bottom line is he came back to the fact that that would be his will to be done. So listening is a practice that we must do. And I think when and it's been this way since I came to Oklahoma, I've seen this. One of the most overlooked distinctions of our humanity is the fact that we've been given a soul to hear the Word of God, to hear the living Word of God spoken to us. And we substitute a lot of other stuff for that, mm-hmm. a lot of other stuff. And we overlook the fact that the Spirit of the living God is seeking to try to mold us into the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, he's trying to mold us into the image of Christ. And so 22 times he says, incline your ears. 5 times he says, incline your hearts. And so we are, the admonition is that we are to quiet ourselves. And I believe, and I'm coming out of this. I told Pastor Terry this. I'm coming out of this thing. I spent a good 5.5-6 years in the wilderness. I was being downloaded this stuff with nobody to talk to about it. Nobody would hear it. And it was, you know, religion. I mean, they know me too well. You know, I was too familiar to them. I don't know what it was. But nonetheless, I was in the wilderness. I had to take this on his word and his word alone, going through scripture, going, this is true, isn't it? And, it, you know, I'm not going to say anything about it, but, you know, prove this to me that this is true, that the voice of the living God is really the essence of our life. Mm-hmm. He's speaking life to us right now. Mm-hmm. So we need to allow for him to take us to the wilderness. He took Moses, he took John the Baptist, he took Jesus. The wilderness is where nothing else exists but the sustenance of God. And we balk at that because it's going to be tough. We're going to have a hard time with it. There's going to be some emptiness, you know. I'm not going to have my Netflix, you know, whatever. I don't have Netflix, but And we also need to shut off other voices.
Yes.
Shut off other voices. Not to say that, and see, and this is where the dichotomy comes. We need to shut off other voices unless it's the voice of the living God we hear coming through that voice. When I first met Pastor Terry, the man was speaking to me things that I'd been dealing with for 5 years, and he's saying the things right back at me. He's like, I don't even know you. It's like, you're saying the things that I've been raising up inside of me. How do you know this stuff, you know? What have you been doing, you know? And the more I've gotten to know him, the more I realize he's doing the same thing. He wants the same thing. That's because God's like that. You know, that's the way God works. So we need to quiet other, we need to shut off other voices unless in your spirit you hear the word of God coming through the mouth of the person speaking. Otherwise, you have the right to go, I don't need to hear this. And you don't need to be rude, but you just don't need to engage, because we're going to be judged for every careless word we utter. So maybe we shouldn't engage with something that's not actually from God, right?
Yeah.
All right. Meditate on the beauty of the voice that desires to make it well with you. That's what Jeremiah 7 said. I read it last week. The voice of the Lord, he desires to make things well with us. That's his plan for us. That's his, you know, what? Sorry. That's his plan for us, to make it well with us. And it is begun and ended with an ear to hear. And if we read James 1:19, it says, what does it say in James 1:19? That be quick to listen,
slow to speak,
and slow to become angry. We have two ears and one mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, and certainly slow to become angry. And that's because it's twice as important for us to listen to his voice than it is for us to utter careless words.
Amen.
All right, so here we go. We're breaking into the new stuff this week. All that stuff was review, give or take a few things. So this is where I sit. And that is, my treasure has become the voice of my God.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the living God is my treasure. I can see it. I have a sense of smell for it. It's like there's a taste in my mouth that kind of evokes. The treasure of his voice and his voice only is what I'm after. And so an ear to hear is centered on, and it's suspended by that treasure. Because he's speaking to me, and he's made me aware that that's happening, and so therefore, I hang on those words. It's like, whoop, you know, you told me, I've been standing at this wall right here for a long time, but you haven't told me to move, and you haven't given me the revelation of whatever I'm standing here for yet, and I'm just going to wait. I'm hanging on. When my dad drags me away, I'll go, because I'm hanging on to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a kid. Go figure. So, what is your treasure? What's your treasure? This is where the rubber meets the road. What is your treasure? What do you treasure?
Time spent with them.
Yeah. I mean,
I find it, brothers and sisters in Christ too, that can sharpen you as you go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just limit it to the fact that he speaks to me, and that's more important than anything else. And then I can sharpen my brothers and sisters, and I can hear from him. But my treasure has become the living word of God, and I pant for it. My soul longs to hear the words of my God.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 6:21, Jesus kind of sums it up for us. For where your treasure is,
there your heart will be also.
There your heart will be also. Correctamundo. Your heart will be where your treasure is. So if my treasure is the voice of the living God who speaks to me life and speaks to me understanding and wisdom and revelation and peace in the midst of the storm and rest, if that's my treasure, My heart is going to be there. That's where it's going to be. Because what we treasure, we will attend to. If you're, you know, if you're addicted to something, that's your treasure, and you're going to pay attention to that. Because that's most important, right?
Wow.
Right? So, and this is what I've come to understand over this period of time, is that the treasure, as I see it and understand it, is the intercession of God. Because that's the word being spoken to us. God is speaking and looking for an ear to hear his word. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8:26 and 27 says, in the same way the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit tells us the will of God in groanings too deep for words. It's like a seed in the soil. How does it happen? I don't know, but I'm convinced it does, because I've seen too many manifestations of his word through me showing up in front of me. Too many to deny it. So the word, and here we're going to get into some Greek. Intercession is the word entukano. Okay, it's Strong's G1793, entukano. It's a compound word. You guys know what a compound word is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two words.
Two words put together to make one meaning. And I said this last week, and I'll just say it again. I really love prepositions. I love prepositions because it just says everything. Just, you know, you're behind, you're in front, you're over there, you know. You just get this, you know, you get this understanding really quick about what the layout, what the map looks like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the first word, entukano, is en. And it means, go figure, in, by, and with. So the first word of the compound word for intercession is in, by, and with. So what is he saying? He comes in, by, and with us. With what? With the word of his intercession. With the salvation, like what it says for Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save forever because we draw near through him, because he always lives to make intercession for us. He's always speaking this to us so that we will hear and follow. And this is where it gets really good. The second word is tunkano. And it means to hit the mark. To hit the mark of one who's discharging a javelin. Right? He doesn't miss. He doesn't miss. He hits the mark. To reach, attain, obtain, to get. No one comes to my Father unless he be drawn. He's seeking to get us. He wants to become master of us. It's through him that it will happen, or chance, or we will fall out into something. To specify or take a case, as for example, to meet one. So the javelin he has hits the mark. Where? In our hearts, in our spirits, in our soul. He hits the mark. It's there. If you're walking around, if you could see in the spirit, you know, the guy that's listening to the voice of God has a stick coming out of his heart, because he's listening for the voice of God, and it sticks out. You can see it. It's there, right? But we don't see in the spirit, so you don't see it. It's hidden. It's like the seed in the soil. And here's the one that really just is so beautiful. I said it's to meet one, but it's also of he who meets one or presents himself unsought. Of he who meets one or presents himself unsought. I didn't seek God. God sought me. He sought me out. He speaks to my heart before I even know it's him. I have recollection before I was saved of mm-hmm. the voice of the living God telling me stuff about stuff. And so I did two pieces on this and put them on my blog back in the very beginning. And this is the way I felt like I was going to need to write it out in a prose fashion to kind of give more fluff to it, because definitions are just kind of, even though they do make an impact. So I wrote this out. My intercession, this is God speaking to us, my intercession is dripping with the cry for understanding. Just picture that. My intercession is dripping with the cry for understanding. I speak to hit the mark, discharging the javelin of my purpose to attain and become master over the hearer. The one whose case I've taken for my aspiration of conversation, consultation, and supplication, I present myself unsought, the common man to reach, that one may obtain me. That's the intercession of God. That's how deep it is. I mean, that's just, and we don't even see it. It's not visible. But I'll guarantee that right there is, I'm all over that. I'm all over this because I've lived this out. The intercession of God is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In Matthew 4:4, as Jesus was talking to Satan, who is tempting him to make bread out of rocks, Jesus turns to him and says, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, there's no irony to the fact that Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread of heaven, was being offered stones for food from the devil. Right? There's no irony to that. Man, but the point is that man will not live on bread alone, but he will on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I believe that word out of the mouth of God is the intercession of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit speaking to the church to develop us, to build us up, to make us into his bride. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, come in before we could think or ask. It's just there. Boop, boop, little bloop, boop. You know, suddenly you have that inspiration that pops in. And this is what Matthew 6:8, this is why I posted it on the thing, because I was working in this scripture. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Yeah.
Right? So, and backing that up, Paul says now in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to what?
His purpose.
The power that works within you. What is that power?
The Holy Spirit.
There you go. It's the Holy Spirit working. It's also the word of Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us continually. So, I had an experience in 2016, and I'm just going to share it with you. I was out raking dirt, making a pad for a small shed, also a metal shed. And I was sitting there, I'm just minding my own business, I'm just doing it, just beep, ba-doop, you know. And in the midst of it, I hear the Holy Spirit say, what am I doing right now? You know, and so in that moment, the rake became a leaning post. It's like, I'm sitting with my forehead is literally on the end of the rake, and there's just sweat dripping off me to the ground below. And I'm like, okay, so you're the Holy Spirit. You know my heart. You search my heart. You know exactly what I'm even thinking right here, right now. I feel a little exposed. This is weird. You just ask me this trick question. I don't know what to say. And so I, you know, trying to kind of keep it together and like, yeah, I'm fine, you know, sorry. With God.
Yeah.
I'm walking around doing my other stuff, and I said, well, you know, Holy Spirit, you're the one that said, or Jesus said, you're the one that's going to remind me of the words Jesus spoke. So tell me. I'm interceding. I'm speaking the will of God to your heart. But the caveat to the whole thing was, is that he wasn't interested in my biblical knowledge. Yeah. He wanted me to be quizzical, to be super duper panting for whatever he's doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, my life doesn't matter. Yours is what matters, you know? Mm-hmm. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what he was after. He wasn't concerned about whether I was smart to figure out what the scripture said about it. You know, it's like, well, it's written, Lord, it says. No, he wasn't after that at all. He wanted me to know that he was concerned about me being interested in what he's doing and paying attention in such a way that I'm willing to drop these other things that are truly choking out his word and his spirit and his life that he tries to bring to me, that are fine things, but they're choking it out. And he wanted me to be deeply intrigued with this. And this is why I'm even saying this now, because this is what he began to bring to me. The intercession of God, what it truly is. All right. Matthew 10, 24, 25, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. Last week I read 6 passages. You guys remember that? I read 6 passages about Jesus talking about what he does. And it boils down to the fact that he did nothing, does nothing, said nothing without the initiative of his Father.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. A slave being like his master. Nothing unless the initiation of the Father comes. Nothing. Perfect. Perfect. They were one. That's the John 17 unity. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for all of us to be on that same page, listening for the voice of God, and only doing what we hear our Father telling us. John, 1 John 2:27 says that as for you, and the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as he has taught you, you abide in him. So that anointing is our teacher. And it gets right back to the fact that he's interceding. The Holy Spirit is speaking the will of God to our hearts. And it's for somebody who has an ear to hear what's being said. Somebody who's willing to sit with him while he susses out what he's trying to say to his kid, who's, you know, a human. But he's faithful. So the easy yoke is the intercession of God, and if we listen, we can know before we ask him. Because why? Because in John 16, 13, he says, he will tell you of what's to come. So if I sit in his presence, I don't need to ask him. He'll tell me before I get there. And that starts to get really weird. But I've had that experience too many times for it not to be real.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to let you download on me, and I believe you do tell me things that are to come, and then I walk into it. Right?
Yeah.
And so if we listen, we can know before we ask. Able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could think or ask. The power that works in us is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, John 16, 13, it says, he will disclose to you what is to come. In Matthew 11, 29 and 30, coming to the end here, Matthew 11, 29 and 30, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I kind of took that scripture and I kind of turned it around as him speaking more common speaks to us. And it would go like this. Receive the word of my intercession and the unified voice of the Holy Spirit and learn from us. He's the anointing that remains. Learn from us. We speak to the kingdom within. We speak to the heart. We breathe on the scriptures and open up your understanding. We are the revelation of all things God. Practice listening first. Practice that. That's our practical application here. Practice listening, because he is speaking, and for those whom he can trust, he will download more. And I'll prove that to you in a second. It's an easy yoke, because all we need to have is an ear to hear. He does everything. He's just looking for somebody who's listening. He takes care of the whole nine yards and will give us commands to do. And we don't need to stress about what those are. He'll tell you. When you need to go, he'll tell you you need to go. You'll have a sense in your spirit that's like, it's D-Day. We're going. We're doing this. We're invading the beach. We're doing whatever, you know? And that ear to hear is a heart of repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right there. Nobody's going to go get it for you. It's within you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth, that you may observe it. So if we incline our ear to the voice and his voice only, he will lead us in the way, the truth, and the life. Because he told us a long time ago, we need to listen. That's the way. The truth is the Holy Spirit who dwells within us to speak to us. And that produces life, you know? It just does. So it's his voice and his voice only, also because without the intercession of God, there is no response. If he doesn't speak to you, you're inert. Now, you can respond to another voice and not be inert,
right,
but you're not alive.
What's inert?
Oh, I'm sorry. Inert is without life, motionless.
Okay.
This chair is inert.
Okay, I was like, wait, you're using a word I don't understand.
All right, sorry about that. We're like a, you know, we're the, it's the Energizer Bunny, you know, no, the battery doesn't work anymore, that kind of thing. So, without the intercession of God, and this is my belief, it's not like it's some sort of thing you have to stand on, but I don't believe that without the intercession of God, there is any response in humanity. If God hadn't have said to, you know, the things that he said, if he hadn't breathed the divine inspiration and spirit and intellect and soul into a human being, we would have nothing. And so the intercession of God is the same kind of thing. It's the word of God coming in and piercing, you know, to the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, judging the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's that same kind of thing. So, and that is true, that and I believe this is true, because without the intercession of God, there's no response. And so, how do I have confidence that that's true? Because Romans 3:11 says that no one seeks for God. No, none of us were seeking him. He was seeking us, and always has been. We're the pearl of great price, right? He's always been seeking after us. And I've got deeper reasons for why that's the case, and it's really cool if you wanted to be a warrior and get into it. If you really wanted to take this thing as the battle axe that we're going to go to war with, it's really cool. But I'm not going to share it here because it's not in context to what we're talking about. So he meets us. No one seeks for God, but he meets us and presents himself unsought with the javelin of his purpose to reach and attain us. And like children, we should respond with hunger. We should be panting, because when we recognize that this is our life, you know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if the word is not speaking to us, drawing us to do something, we're doing nothing. Sorry, it's all wood, hay, and stubble, you know, right? And so like children, we should respond with hunger and passion for the life that's embedded in the word he speaks to our spirits. The groanings that are too deep for words need to be followed. And here we go with prepositions again. The groanings that are too deep for words that the Holy Spirit brings to us need to be followed with, after, and behind. I'm the good shepherd. I go before my sheep. They hear my voice and will follow me. They will not follow another because they don't know the voice of strangers. Mm-hmm. So the groanings that are too deep for words need to be followed with, after, and behind. Thinking upon them, pondering them, considering and heeding them toward his understanding for our minds. What does the scripture say about our minds being renewed in Christ? That's how it happens. My mind gets renewed because I'm thinking upon, pondering, and considering the things of God that he speaks to my heart to draw me into Christ, to make me into, you know, the image of his son. And so these things need to be pondered, considered, heeded, and understood in our minds. And it's for this reason, I don't know if you guys have ever heard me say this, I've only been around for a little while, but this is why I proclaim that I live off of his intercession in repentance. I live off the intercession of God in repentance. And I've given you a little, kind of a little touch for what next week's going to be about, because with, after, behind, thinking upon, pondering, considering, heeding to the understanding in your mind is another compound word that we're going to get into. It's really sweet. Yeah, it's sweet. It's just sweet. So I live off of his intercession and repentance. That's become a mantra. When I saw that, my heart leapt, because I realized that he's a merciful God. He wants me to listen. And if I don't, he understands that I don't, because I don't know what I'm doing. But at the same time, he so passionately desires for us to engage with him and be with him and be part of his work in this world, that he doesn't condemn me for the fact that I miss it. He doesn't. The only condemnation I will get in the end is if I shut my ears to the fact that he's speaking to me. You didn't listen to my voice. I don't know you. You know, you didn't respond back to me. Oh, and that was another thing I was going to say. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I didn't even read that. No, oh, thank you. This is so cool. Luke 8:18. Speaking about the words that are spoken. Jesus says, so take care how you listen. Mm-hmm. Take care how you listen. For whoever has, more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, is going to be taken away from him. Right. Now I'm going to unpack that for you. Take care how you listen. Mm-hmm. Be mindful of listening. Take care of it. Be mindful of what's being said. For whoever has, more shall be given. And here's a little... The word have or has in Greek, you're never gonna believe this. The word has or have is echo. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So take care how you listen, because whoever has, more will be given. Do you echo the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into this world the truth? Ooh, yeah. Because if you do, more will be given. But even if you think you have, what you think you have will be taken away from you if you're not echoing what the Holy Spirit's saying. It's all folly, fodder, wood, hay, stubble. I'm glad you guys, I felt the light go on. It's like, this is so cool. So that's what he does. He's wanting us, and I've trying to suss that out deeper with a piece I'm writing about the union of combatants, and that gets into that whole army warrior thing with the Holy Spirit taking arms with him. So we need to have an ear to hear. We need to echo what the ear hears from the living God, because there's life attached to it. There's freedom attached to it. There's liberty attached to it. There's development of the soul. There's the opportunity for people to lift their head above the mire and the muck of this world that gets slapped on us all the time. It's the living word of God that washes us. It's the water of the word, right? And so I'll conclude with this. The voice of the living God is the hidden treasure. The voice of the living God is the hidden treasure. It's hidden inside you, and it requires, like kings, to seek out. Deep within the kingdom of heaven, buried in the field of our hearts, an ear to hear will find the treasure and birth the desire to sell off everything to purchase that voice. Sell it all off. It's worthless. And that's why I say I live off of his intercession, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God in repentance. So that's it. Let me pray, and I went late, so. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share, to be able to bring forth things that you've placed in my heart and have been marinating and stirring and cooking, as it were, in my heart. Thank you for the knowing eyes that I got to see tonight, the hearts that were touched, and the revelation that you brought in the words that you gave me to speak. I bless you and thank you, Lord God, that this whole thing is about you and for you. It will be reconciled back to you. Colossians 1:15-20 is so true. It was all for you, by you, and it will be reconciled back to you. And nothing that's been made wasn't made without you. It's all yours. And so, Father, help us as people to take what you've given us, to receive the living word of God in our hearts and in our souls, and be willing to echo that word to the world around us, to speak the living word of God, and to draw change, to bring change to what surrounds us, to change the environment, to change the culture, to change the way things are done. I bless you and thank you, Lord, and I pray that we would go and that we would all have and continue to have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.